Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Support out there. Go check us out, redneckinize.com. It's 515-602-9731 is the number to call. If you follow the conversation, just hit 1. Check us out, redneckinize.com. That's all of our social media accounts you can get links to right there. Also, YouTube channel. Go check out our YouTube channel. Please go subscribe to that if you can. We got some great videos over there talking about how to drive around big trucks and also just, you know, dealing with things out there on the road or talking about things that truckers might not know exactly what all's going on. Our most watched video on there still to this day. In fact, you know what? I'll check it out right now. It was me talking about the interaxial differential. And I'm trying to go to the deal where it shows me the top video. Yep, still 900 views in the last 28 days is talking about the interaxial differential, the locking differential. If you guys, you know, we talk about that several times also on the radio show here, and then a lot of drivers still, you know, they got questions about it and all that, and we try to help out when we can, but it's actually not complicated once you boil down to it. That you think about it, there's two differentials, just like a car, right? But there's also another differential in between the two axles that's operating independently from the other two differentials. So when you're talking about, like, you know, when a wheel spins, when one wheel comes off the ground, it gets all the power because it's got all the least resistance. The other wheel on the ground gets no power. Well, the same thing. When one axle comes off the ground, that's the one that gets all the power. The other axle doesn't get any power. So that's why there's an interaxle differential lock. When you lock it, that equally distributes the power between the two axles. And then we also have wheel lockers, one for the front, one for the back, or you might have one switch that locks them both, and that is for getting the wheels to lock, where if one wheel on the right spins, it won't cause the other one to lock up. They'll both equally spin when you have the lockers engaged. The only problem is when you have the lockers engaged going down the highway, it does cause a little bit more wear and tear than normal. So that's the other argument is that if you go too fast or if you get on the highway with those lockers on, you could really break something. It's like, nah, not really. You're just kind of wearing the gears out a little bit faster than you normally would. If you normally would get a million miles on the differential, then you might only get maybe $750,000, $800,000 on it if you, you know, lock them or left them locked in a little bit more often than you should. And that's the way that works. So, yeah, check us out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Redneckandeyes is the name of the YouTube channel. And please go subscribe. We appreciate everybody's support doing that. So other than that, we were just talking about, you know, big businesses taking over the trucking industry and where the carriers, these big carriers, you know, everybody thought, well, they're the ones, you know, like OIDA would always say, these big carriers like Swift and Schneider and J.B. Hunt and all them, well, they're the ones that are undercutting the rate. It's not really the true. I mean, well, they might be undercutting the rate. That might be still true, but they're not going to the customers and getting low bids. They're booking the freight because the customer says, I don't want to deal with it. I'll pay somebody good money to go and find me the trucks. I don't want to have to go find the trucks. And that's what they're saying, is that they're saying, I want to not have to worry about a truck showing up. I want to make sure I hire somebody. I pay them good money. You know, like Menlo Logistics is one of them. They used to do it all the time. Landstar does it. Swift does it. Most of all the carriers do it now, to where they'll say, we are it. Like, you know how you see the FedEx commercials during the Super Bowl, where it's like, well, we have problems with shipping. You know, we have a lot of expenses in shipping. How do we control those expenses? And what it is that the FedEx says, call us and we'll handle it all, which means that if you've got little stuff, big stuff, it doesn't matter. We'll make sure it gets hauled. So if you've got a business to where not only do you, you know, ship stuff, little boxes here and there, or you got product, you make product and you need to get a truck to put it on, FedEx says they'll handle it all. And a lot of these carriers are doing that. You know, you got all the LTL carriers are getting into that. We'll handle it all. You know, we'll handle your supply chain needs. They say that. They say, call us, we'll do it all. So these carriers are getting these contracts to where, you know, they're like, it doesn't matter. If we got stuff coming or we got stuff going, we don't want to have to worry about trucks showing up. We want somebody to handle it. And times when you go into an office, the person handling the shipping and receiving is somebody that works for, you know, those different carriers, whether it be Schneider, Landstar, whatever. You know, they work for them. And then they deal with you. That way the company that you're hauling for, whoever it may be, you know, they don't deal with it. You know, others have gotten in their own deal where they've got, you know, I don't even think Procter & Gamble, they might even have their own brokerage account, you know, to where they can deal with it. But anyway, what I was getting to is that, you know, Swift and Schneider and all them, they book the freight with the customer. They say, hey, you know, we'll haul it. But the problem is that they're not hauling it. They're getting you to haul it, the independent owner operator, and they're the ones controlling the price. And then some of it may pay good, some of it ain't paying nothing. You know, a lot of times you'll get, you know, these off the wall brokers, they'll call you up. I mean, even when you go, like, you know, I haul only for JB Hunt 360 on their app, or I only do for Landstar or whatever. They got some shady people working over there on all those companies. So yeah, it's always a big thing with those guys. They're double booking loads, or they're, you know, I don't know what you call it now, but when you got, like, they'll tell you, we got a load picking up in Dallas going to Philadelphia, paying, you know, this much money. And you're like, hey, that's pretty good. And they say, well, it's got 6 stops. And you're like, well, as long as you pay for these 6 stops. And they'll say, well, we only pay, you know, $50, $75 per stop or whatever. But then you come to find out it's not that there's 6 stops coming off. Like you don't pick up a load in Dallas and then drop off 5-6 pouts here, 5-6 pouts here, 5-6 pouts here, whatever. No. What they're doing is they're taking the freight. You're not going all the way to Dallas. It's like, you got to go to Nashville, and then you got to go to Louisville, and then you got to go to Columbus, Ohio, and then you got to go to Pittsburgh, and then you end up in Philadelphia. You know, that kind of thing. But what they're doing is you get to Nashville, which might take a little time because you got to wait on them. They unload the whole trailer, and then they load another load. So it's basically booking full loads on one load. Normally, when a load is only going from Dallas to Nashville, it should pay more. It's not that long. A longer run pays less. That's just how we see it. So the multiple stops, well, you know, that's basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to tell you, well, you just hauled a load that should pay $5 a mile or $6 a mile or $9 a mile, whatever the rate is now. That load from Dallas to Nashville should pay that, but you're only getting, you know, 3 or 4 because it's the total miles for the whole load going to Philadelphia. And then you're making an extra $100, $150 for that stop. That ain't right. You know, so yeah, just watch out for that stuff. You know, and it's not necessarily, I mean, I just exaggerate on that, but it what it boils down to is a lot of it's on that shorter stuff. If you're more of a regional driver, you know, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll try to get you on that regional stuff because they're like, you know, hey, pick up this load here in Columbus, take it to Cleveland, and then you're going to end up in, you know, Pittsburgh or whatever, you know, all regional. And it might be, and you might think that's paying all right, you know. But if it was only going to Cleveland, it should have probably paid another $2 a mile. If it was only going from Cleveland to Pittsburgh, it probably should have paid another $4 a mile because it's way short, especially if it's kind of an overnight thing where you can only pick it up at 8 o'clock in the morning and only deliver at 8 o'clock the next morning. You know, those short runs like that, they're expensive. And they should be because it's, you know, if I can pick up that load in Cleveland and deliver it that afternoon in Pittsburgh, I'll do that. You know, that won't be as expensive. But when you make me sit all night on it, yeah, it's going to get expensive. So, anyway, tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. We're just checking things out here. And I don't know. There's a lot of things going on there's some autonomous truck stuff going on. And that was kind of interesting to talk about. We talked about that on Tuesday. And, you know, just what's going on in the world. What we got going on here. Elections are coming up. Don't forget to go vote. You know, I was trying to look like in my head, like when is election day? Election day is the 8th. Is that what I said before? Click on my calendar here and get it to pop up, see what it says. But it's like, it's not next Tuesday. It's the Tuesday after that. So Tuesday the 1st, that's not, it's Tuesday the 8th. So you got what? 7, 8, 9, 10, like 11 days from now. So this weekend, when you either, if you watch all the Sunday shows and they're talking about the politics and the elections and all that, they'll say it's only a week to go, only a week to go. And that's basically it because on October 30th, you've got a week, basically. That's Sunday. And like I said, it's Tuesday, November 1st, and then you got a week, and then election day is November 8th. And that's the election day. And all I can hope for is that they stop counting ballots at that night. They don't want to count any more ballots after that. And that's the way it should be. These, you know, accepting mail-in ballots is one thing. They should be accepted and counted by the day. There shouldn't be any of this counting past election day. Election day is when it should all be done. Okay? And a lot of people say, well, you know, early voting is important. Early voting is so my whole opinion on all this is voting sucks. And voting does not, you know, oh, it's my constitutional right. Yeah, well, it's not really. Okay? It's not. They added that later on. And we're not in a democracy. Okay? You don't get, when they first founded this country, you didn't get the right to choose your leaders. You know, certain people decided who was going to be the leaders. And really what boils down to is that they've actually suckered you. They told you, you get to elect these leaders. And let's just face it, we're not good at electing leaders. We're just not that good at it. We don't do a good job electing leaders. Maybe we shouldn't be in charge of electing leaders. We're not good at doing that. You know, we don't elect our bosses. You know, we have jobs that we work for people. We don't elect them. You know, we have a choice. We don't have to work for them, but they're still in charge. They still run the company. You know, I mean, I remember when I was like 20 years old, I'll show them, I'll quit. No, they don't care. They're running the business. They're making the money. They don't care. And I just think we suck at, you know, democracy sucks because just like what the guy said, Thomas Jefferson said this. I didn't know that it was Thomas Jefferson that said this, but I remember it being said before. Democracy is just two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner. That's hilarious, dude. because that's so true. Because it is. I mean, when you let the masses pick who's in charge, that's not always a good person. It's not, that's probably the more reason why we have low morals that we have now with the politicians. We don't care. We don't care what Donald Trump did in his personal life. We don't care what Herschel Walker did in his personal life. We don't care, like him in the other side, we don't care that the president is, you know, incoherent and shuffles his feet when he walks and can barely make out a sentence. We don't care that. We don't care that a Senate candidate out of Pennsylvania is actually struggling with speaking and can't barely get a thought across. You know, I mean, shame on your family for allowing you to be out there in public doing that. Shame on your family. Okay, that's disgusting for you to let somebody you care about, somebody you love so much that you'll let them stand out there and make a fool of themselves like that. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame. This is despicable, you know. But we don't care. We don't care, you know. There's so many other stuff, you know. I mean, one guy down here in South Texas, the FBI raided his house. We don't care. We don't care, you know. And like I said, we suck at picking leaders. We just suck at it. This is what boils down to, like I said before, all it takes is money. You get the commercials out there and you just repeat over and over again what kind of person you are, which you're really not, but you tell the people, this is the kind of person I am. And they're like, I'm going to vote for that guy, when really he's not. He's lying. You know, it's not about lying about what they want to do. You know, I mean, the one thing you can say about Trump is that he did exactly what he said he was going to do. Now, one thing that I wish he would have done better was the spending. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't campaign that he was going to cut the budget. He didn't campaign on that. He didn't campaign on he was going to cut spending. He wasn't going to do that. Okay? What he did was, is he opened the floodgates. He allowed the businesses to thrive, and that created prosperity, which created more money into the government. You know, that's what he did. And then what happened was when COVID hit, he actually bought into the whole notion of we need to shut down the businesses and send people free money. That's and he is just as guilty as that as Biden is. The only problem is that it was over when Biden came into office and he didn't have to do that, but he still wanted to because everybody liked that, you know. So, and I'm not even saying that the guy that can barely buy groceries liked it. He wanted to go back to work. Who liked it was these big businesses that were getting free money. When you send, you know, like just like we talked about, Walmart and HEB are the only two grocery stores here in town. But when you send the entire city, the entire population gets $1,000 in their bank account that they didn't have before, those businesses, they love it. They love it because where are you going to go? What are you going to do? You're going to spend that money. That's what you're going to do. And they love it. They loved the fact that there were people waiting in line to get in their store. They loved the fact that they ran out of flat screen TVs in the first 2 weeks of the pandemic. They loved that. They loved it because it was free money for them. So don't think it's, you know, oh, we need to cut the, you know, welfare. No, it ain't that. It's you cut welfare not because you're trying to hurt the little guy. The little guy's going to be all right. Okay. There's charities out there. There's churches. There are plenty of places where those poor people can go get what they need. There's plenty of that going around. And a lot of them, they just hustle. And it's like, you know, well, I'm doing all right, but I'll go over here. This is free over here. I'll go over here and do this. But if it's not over here, I'll figure something out. That's what they'll do. But the free money, welfare that the government sends out to the poor people, you know who loves that the most? Walmart. They love it. That's their money. That's free money for them. That's who loves it the most. And that's who's electing. That's who's paying to elect politicians to keep that coming. Okay? The people are out there getting the free money. They don't know where it's coming from. They don't care. They don't vote. They think the votes are all rigged. You know? So, boom. You know? Oh, man, I tell you what. Don't get me going. Like I said, democracy sucks. We are bad at picking leaders. When the Constitution was first written, the House of Representatives were elected by the people. You know, I remember talking to school teachers would tell you, the House of Representatives represents the people. the Senate represents the states. And I'm like, what does that mean? I said, well, don't we make up the state? Like, too, aren't we living in the state? So we live in the state. What does that mean? And what that means is that you elect your state politicians to pass state laws, right? Those state politicians approve, the senators are appointed by the governor, and they are approved by those state legislatures, just like they approve ambassadors and the cabinet members. They're all approved by the U.S. Senate because the president nominates them and they have to go through confirmation. Well, the senators went through the same process. We changed that back in the 50s or 60s, whenever that was, where we said, no, the people can elect the senators now, which actually created this big boom of money into the election cycles because more people now pay for advertising. You never did have to worry about the senator going through any kind of like campaign. The senator was a politician or some type of bureaucrat leader in the system, and they were appointed by the governor. That's why when you see it, if a senator dies or a senator resigns or anything like that, a lot of states have it where the governor appoints a successor. And then the next cycle, you know, there's a new election. Well, that's the original deal, was the governor was appointed. You know, this actually came to light, if you remember, when Ted Kennedy died in Massachusetts. So the senator before him died or whatever. And Mitt Romney got to appoint, Mitt Romney was the governor of Massachusetts at the time, he got to appoint a successor for the new senator. All the Democrats in the state of Massachusetts didn't like that. They said, no, we need to change the rules. We need to change the rules. And so they had the Constitution of Massachusetts changed to where we now have an election to elect a senator. And they said, I think I remember this right, because maybe it happened after that. Like, so, but I mean, what it was they opposed the appointing of the senator by the governor when it was a Republican in the governorship. And then when the other person, no, that's what it was, it's all the same. It wasn't like any different governor was, or a different senator or anything. Ted Kennedy, they had changed the law back in the day because Mitt Romney appointed a governor or appointed a senator, and it was a Republican, and of course they didn't like that, so they had the rule changed, and the rule was changed, so that the state of Massachusetts had to have an election, a special election to elect a senator. Ted Kennedy passed away, so now there's an election. Well, the problem was that things weren't going the Democrats' way because Obama had just lost the midterms or had just been swept into office, and the Tea Party thing all went down and all that. So the Democrats weren't happy. You know, they kind of saw the writing. They said, we're not going to win the next election if there is one. You know, we're going to lose it. You know, everybody's going to vote for Republican. Well, Ted Kennedy's seat came up, and they're like, hey, this is an opportunity for a Republican to take the seat because now there has to be a special election. Well, they knew that there was a Democrat in the governorship, and they're like, no, that's not fair. We need to change the law again because we need to let the governor pick the next senator. That's what they said. They flip-flopped big time. And so that happened. That didn't happen. And that was when that guy, what was his name? Tim Brown, I think was his name or whatever. But he only served like the rest of the term, which is like 2 years or 4 years or whatever. And then they elected Elizabeth Warren. You know, good job, Massachusetts. Like I said, we're not good at picking leaders. Not good at all. We suck at picking leaders. We suck at it. And as it boils down to it. I mean, and like everybody said, well, you know, we don't do a dictatorship. No, what you got to do is you have elections like the House. Like if you ask me, the House is too small. It needs to be bigger. But you elect state leaders. So it's the state politicians. There's a lot of people, and you need to pay attention who you elect as your state leader. Those leaders decide who will lead up the ladder. And that's the way it has to work. And it boils down to, as long as you have some checks and balances there, and that's how the system was always worked, but we didn't elect the senator. The senator never got elected. It was appointed by the state. So if the senator didn't do what the state legislatures wanted him to do, then the senator would get removed or replaced. You know, they have it's like you're serving at the pleasure of the governor. Basically what's going on. So when you see, you know, elections go where the governor's a Republican and then the senator's a Democrat, you know, they're at odds with each other. And that's not right. You know, you can't have a state representative being at odds with the leadership of that state. You know, it's not how it works. You know, you got a lot like that in Texas, you got a lot like that in Florida, Tennessee, where these big cities are electing Democrats, but the whole state is in itself is electing Republicans to lead that state. California, you got a few Republicans that are representing the House of Representatives that are Republicans from California, and they're pretty hardcore on immigration. Their state's not. The entire state is not hardcore on that kind of thing. So statewide, but you know, you got a lot of deals in there in the deal where it's a, what do you call, representatives in a different area. You know, that's kind of the opposite of what we're talking about. You know, you just like we had close races there in the senatorship for Texas and for Florida, and you had a senators were possibly going to be, you know, representing the states that didn't get along with the governors at all. And you just can't have that. So, like I said, I think we suck. I think democracy sucks. I think we suck as picking leaders. We shouldn't be able to pick leaders. We pick our local leaders. And our local leaders should be the ones picking the federal leaders. That's, you know, you should know the local leaders more. You know, a lot of people here where I live, they all know the mayor. They've met the mayor. You know, the county judge that is here, the county judge is basically in charge of the whole, you know, about what all goes on out here with the rules. You know, the COVID lockdowns were all done by the county judges here in Texas. You know, different counties had different rules and all that kind of stuff, which boils down to, I mean, that's the way it should be. You know, whenever we go into another country, like when we were in Iraq and Afghanistan, we were trying to create this centralized government. Centralized government does not work. It does not work. It falls apart. Centralized government cannot control local crime. Centralized government cannot control local education. Centralized government cannot control local economies. They cannot. Okay? They do a broad, sweeping rule that will help a few areas, but then all the other areas fall apart. That's just what boils down to. That's what you see. You know, when you do this. You know, even the states, a state legislature cannot control local education. The state legislature cannot control local economies. The economy in Corpus Christi is different from the economy in San Antonio. The education system has to be different because you got different people. You need local leaders are the most important. Those are the ones who should be getting paid the most. Those are the ones who we should be giving our tax dollars to the most. Okay. Your tax dollars shouldn't be going to the federal government. The federal government shouldn't be funneling money down to local areas. Okay, you know, if an area is underdeveloped, you know, let's say the roads suck in certain cities, it's because they've overspent their money, okay? Jackson, Mississippi, their water went bad because of their local leaders. It had nothing to do with anything else other than local leaders. Bulls, that's you can't say anything else. You can't blame it on the federal government. You can't blame it on the state government. It's local leaders. They're the ones in charge. If there's a problem and they need help, they're supposed to call on the other leaders, the state or the federal, if there's a problem and they need help. Okay? The problem is they didn't ask for help. And when they did ask for help, they were given more money and they mismanaged all that more money. You know, so that's what most places do. So, you know, we're all focused. The media has us all focused on the federal elections and the federal government. They're not the ones in charge, or they're not the ones that can fix your problems. Your local leaders are the only ones that can fix local problems. Okay, you got a bad school, local leadership. You got a bad economy, local leadership. You got bad crime, local leadership. It boils down to. So that's about it for me. I go to work. I'm doing a Harley dealership is down here in the Corpus Christi. Harley dealership is doing their live wire test rides, demo days is what they call them. And so if you were out there riding bikes all over the country during the summertime, they were out there traveling, you know, Ohio and Illinois and Pennsylvania and Colorado and that kind of thing. But down here in South Texas, it's always the late end of the year kind of thing. So tomorrow and Saturday, they're doing live wire demo days. And then next week, they're going to be doing their other new models of their other bikes. So the live wire truck is here. And so tomorrow and Saturday, that's where I'll be. So no show tomorrow night. And I might see if I can get some pictures of the live wires and let y'all know what's going on. So like I said, check us out, renekanize.com. We appreciate everybody's support. Let's see. There you go. So yeah, check us out, renekanize.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And I've been on a rant kind of thing, so I wasn't really paying attention to comments or anything like that. Sorry I didn't get to your comments or anything. But like I said, go check us out, renekanize.com. Appreciate everybody supporting us. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And I'd like to thank all our great sponsors. Trucker Tools at truckertools.com. Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. And then also don't forget DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com. They handle all of the DPF cleaning and all that stuff. So give them a holler. DPF Regeneration, dpfregeneration.com. That's dpfregeneration.com. Appreciate everybody's support. And like I said, don't forget to go vote. November 8th is Election Day. Go show them what you think. And hopefully you're not an idiot and you pick bad leaders. Because that's pretty much all we do. Pretty much that's all there is, right? Nobody wants a good leader. Everybody wants bad leaders. So go check them out. We'll see y'all next time. Redneck and Eyes Radio. Later on.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.